Presentation.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and it's my privilege to spend the next half hour with you right here on WMIE 91.5 FM Cocoa, Florida, today's Modern Worship. You may also be catching us at 10:30 of a morning on WWBC 1510 AM. Whatever station you're listening to, whatever time you might be catching us at WMIE 5 o'clock on the way home, we are thankful that you have tuned in and pray that this broadcast will be a blessing to you. We'd like to start out today by saying thank you to Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 321-632-9538. 321-632-9538. You know, this time of year, air conditioning gets to be very important, not just during the day, but also at night. The temperature doesn't drop down into the lower registers as frequently as it has in the past. You can still get the occasional cold front, but here, right before Easter, my wife, I was up getting ready to go to prayer meeting, and as she was getting up and getting ready to go to work, and she said, "Is it cold outside?" And so I went out and found my phone and looked at the temperature, and the low temperature for 7 days was not supposed to dip below 70 degrees. And it was like, oh my goodness, it is time to make sure that the air conditioner is working appropriately. And so if you need help with yours, give the folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric a phone call, 321-632-9538. They can go throughout the county. They can work on any type of air conditioning unit, and they can keep you cool even at night. And so we encourage you to give them a call and do so. When you do so, tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast. So we are looking at the anointing that is mentioned in Isaiah chapter 61. Let me just read that first verse to you. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." So we're looking, because the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. And I believe that God has an anointing for you. And today I'm really wanting to look at the purpose of this anointing. The reason that there was an anointing of the priest was so that there would be spiritual health in the life of the nation of Israel. And we have a high priest that is superior to the Aaronic line of high priest, and that is through Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that he brings spiritual health to us. The reason that there was an anointing for a king was so that he could bring national health to the people, that there would be proper governance, that there would be a righteous person sitting upon the throne who would be ruling and judging in righteousness. And so the purpose of the anointing was to bring health in whatever realm the person was functioning in. And so if you have an anointing with finances, it is so that the people of God will experience financial health. That if you have an anointing to repair automobiles, it's so that people will have sound, reliable transportation. If it's a construction, that there will be safety for the people. There is an anointing that comes from God, and it is to benefit the people that Jesus died to save. The anointing of God is not so much a merit badge for the person who's anointed, although you are not supposed to touch them in a manner to harm or injure them. That person is anointed to act on behalf of the people that he is representing or she is representing. And so I want to take you back to Psalm 23. This morning, verse number 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And I want to read to you today something. It's an excerpt from A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. This is going to be a pretty lengthy reading, but I want you to understand how a shepherd, which is what David was before he was king, and then he continued that mindset even when he was king, how they would work or how they would interpret this passage. So I'm going to be reading, again, this is an excerpt from A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. "As one meditates on this magnificent poem, it is helpful to keep in mind that the poet is recounting the salient events of the full year in a sheep's life. He takes us with him from the home ranch where every need is so carefully supplied by the owner, out into the green pastures, along the still waters, up through the mountain valleys, to the high tablelands of summer. Here now, where it would appear the sheep are in a sublime setting on the high meadows, where there are clear running springs, where the forage is fresh and tender, where there is the intimate close contact with the shepherd, suddenly we find a, quote, fly in the ointment, end quote, so to speak. For in the terminology of the sheepman, summertime is fly time. By this reference is made to the hordes of insects that emerge with the advent of warm weather. Only those people who have kept livestock or studied wildlife habits are aware of the serious problems for animals presented by insects in the summer. Sheep are especially troubled by the nose fly, or nasal fly as it is sometimes called. These little flies buzz about the sheep's head, attempting to deposit their eggs on the damp mucous membranes of the sheep's nose. If they are successful, the eggs will hatch in a few days to form small, slender, worm-like larvae. They work their way up the nasal passages into the sheep's head. They burrow into the flesh and there set up an intense irritation accompanied by severe inflammation. For relief from this agonizing annoyance, sheep will deliberately beat their heads against trees, rocks, posts, or brush. They will rub them in the soil and thrash around against woody growth. In extreme cases of intense infestation, a sheep may even kill itself. Often advanced stages of infection from these flies will lead to blindness. Because of all this, when the nose flies hover around the flock, some of the sheep become frantic with fear and panic in their attempt to escape their tormentors. They will stamp their feet erratically and race from place to place in the pasture, trying desperately to elude the flies. Some may run so much they will drop from sheer exhaustion. Others may toss their heads up and down for hours. All this excitement and distraction has a devastating effect on the entire flock. Only the strictest attention to the behavior of the sheep by the shepherd can forestall the difficulties of quote-unquote fly time. At the very first sign of flies among the flock, he will apply an antidote to their heads. I always preferred to use a homemade remedy composed of linseed oil, sulfur, and tar, which was smeared over the sheep's nose and head as a protection against nose flies. What an incredible transformation this would make. Once the oil had been applied to the sheep's head, there was an immediate change in behavior. The sheep would start to feed quietly again, then soon lie down in peaceful contentment. But summertime for the sheep is more than just fly time. It is also quote-unquote scab time. Scab is an irritating and highly contagious disease common among sheep the world over. Caused by a minute microscopic parasite that proliferates in warm weather, quote-unquote scab, spreads throughout a flock by direct contact between infected and non-infected animals. Sheep love to rub their heads in an affectionate and friendly manner. Scab is often found most commonly around the head. When two sheep rub together, the infection spreads readily from one to the other. Again, as with flies, the only effective antidote is to apply linseed oil, sulfur, and other chemicals that can control this disease. In many sheep-rearing countries, dips are built and the entire flock is put through the dip. Each animal is completely submerged in the solution until the entire body is soaked. The most difficult part to do is the head. The head has to be plunged under repeatedly to ensure that scab there will be controlled. Some sheepmen take great care to treat the head by hand. Thou anointest my head with oil. Again, it was the only antidote for scab. In Palestine, the old remedy for this disease was olive oil mixed with sulfur and spices. Now, as summer in the high country moves gradually into autumn, subtle changes occur both in the countryside and in the sheep. In the flock, there are subtle changes. This is the season of the rut, or mating, of great battles between the rams for possession of the ewes. The necks of the monarchs swell and grow strong. They strut proudly across the pastures and fight furiously for the favors of the ewes. The crash of the heads and the thud of colliding bodies can be heard through the hours of day and night. The shepherd knows all about this. He knows that some of the sheep will and can actually kill, injure, and maim each other in these deadly combats. So he decides on a very simple remedy. At this season of the year, he will catch his rams and smear their heads with grease. I used to apply generous quantities of axle grease to the head and nose of each ram. Then when they collide in their great crashing battles, the lubricant would make them glance off each other in such a ludicrous way they stood there feeling rather stupid and frustrated. In this way, much of the heat and tension was dissipated and little damage was done. Summer moves into autumn. Storms of sleet and hail and early snow begin to sweep over the high country. Soon the flocks will be driven from the alplands and tablelands. They will turn again toward the home ranch for the long, quiet winter season. The sheep have respite now from flies, insects, and scabs. And scab, no other season finds them so fit and so well and so strong. No wonder David wrote, "My cup runneth over." The important thing was for me to be there on time, to find the frozen, chilled sheep before it was too late. I had to be in the storm with them, alert to everyone that was in distress. My shepherd is alert to every approaching disaster that threatens his people. He has been through the storms of suffering before. He bore our sorrows and was acquainted with our grief. And now, no matter what storms I face, his very life and strength and vitality is poured into mine. It overflows, so the cup of my life runs over with his life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So you see that the anointing that was done by the shepherd, it was done out of love and concern and compassion for the sheep. It was to bring healing from an invasion that may have seemed innocent, but it would find passage to something that would become a great irritation, and it would become life-threatening to the sheep. And so he anoints the sheep's head. It was an anointing that would have preventative measures at an access point. And so I want the anointing in my life because I don't want the devil to have any access points in my life, and I don't want the devil to have any access points into my family's life, my church's life, or to your life. And then sometimes there are sheep who have issues in their life. My daughter, I believe it was reading her Bible one night. And she said, listen to the heading over this passage. And it says, woman with issue healed. And that's something that is kind of funny because we all have issues. I've got issues. You've got issues. All God's children have issues. And God wants to bring healing to those areas of issues. But because we are social beings, we were created to be in fellowship with one another. We were not created to be isolated from one another. That's why we are constantly inviting you to attend our services. If you do not have a home church, is because you need to have believers that you are in fellowship with. So we want to invite you out to church this coming Sunday. I will be preaching this Sunday. We have a special event coming Sunday after church, and that is we're having a newcomer's lunch. Anybody who's been to Merit Assembly of God in the past 6 months, we'd just like to introduce ourselves to you, have you introduce yourself to us, and get to know you just a little bit better. And so that's coming up Sunday after our morning service. We do not have a Sunday night service this week because of that. But we also want to invite you to our Mother's Day service. It's a special time that we have to get together. We have a ladies' luncheon the day before. We have our Mother's Day service. And then in the month of June, June 10th and 11th, we have our 65th anniversary service. We're going to be having gifts for those who are in attendance. But more than that, we are crying out to God for a move in Brevard County where souls will be saved, people will be healed. That will be on Saturday night, June the 10th and June the 11th. But sometimes whenever we get to fellowshipping with one another, some of those issues that we talked about can begin to spread throughout the body. I remember reading about a baseball coach, manager back in the days, professional baseball manager. And it was back in the day when you couldn't just, you know, have people traded and all of that. That's kind of relatively new with collective bargaining agreement and trades and all of that. Back then, once you were on the team, you were pretty much on the team. And every once in a while, a player on the team would develop a bad attitude, and he would rub some of the players the wrong way. And if there were two people who had bad attitudes, the manager's solution for that was to make them roommates as, when they were traveling on the road, 81 games on the road. And so he in doing that, he would prevent The bad attitude that the one person had and then the second person had, he would isolate those bad attitudes so that they didn't spread throughout the rest of the team. God has a solution, and that is he wants to anoint all of us thoroughly so that none of us have that bad attitude. And so that's another thing that Philip Keller mentions here in his book. And then, you know, it is good when brethren dwell together in unity. In fact, let me take you over to Psalm 133, because this would be a good place to talk about this. Psalm 133, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head." You're going to hear in this passage that he's talking about the anointing oil, "running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending from the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." That's what God intends for us with the anointing, is that when brethren are dwelling together in unity, that he will command life evermore there. But in reality, all of us have a sin nature that we deal with. We have personalities. We have baggage. One of these days, I may have a sign printed up that we put in the entryway, and it says, "Check your baggage at the door." And I want you to know that I do that as well. There was a time when I had a meeting and came out of that meeting in not the greatest mindset. I had been promised a job with this company. My company was going out of business. Another company was taking over. I had been promised by the manager that I was going to be retained. And just a few days before that transition happened, in that meeting, I was told that wasn't going to happen, that there had been a change of plans on their end, and the direction that they went wasn't in my best interest. And when I came back, my countenance was desperately changed. And, you know, I'll never forget that it wasn't too long after that God said, "You know, Bob, I've got to deal with the issues in your heart. I've got to deal with the issues in your life just as much as I have to deal with the issues in everybody else's life." And so we all have those issues that we deal with, and we don't want to be butting heads, especially in the body of Christ. The thing that is supposed to be the mark of distinction for believers is that you and I have love one for another. And so just like this shepherd would anoint the heads of the rams to make sure that they did not damage themselves and damage one another when they were having their little testosterone battles, then, you know, trying to establish the pecking order and where they fit and their dominance and their supremacy and all of that sort of stuff, the shepherd's solution was, "Here, let me anoint your head with oil. And then when you get into your little battles, you will look kind of foolish. And then you will say, you know what? Maybe it's just best that we not have this fight." And I pray that you and I will all be people of humility. And, you know, this excerpt that I read to you, it said that the most important aspect of this anointing process, whether it was for the nasal flies or for the scab or for the internal conflicts of the flock, that the most important aspect of the anointing was the fact that the shepherd was there, the shepherd's presence was personal, he was attentive to all of the sheep in the flock, he was aware of what each of them might be going through, and he would anoint them so that when they returned from their journey and got back to their home, that they would be more healthy than they had been. They would be stronger than they had been, and they would be more fit than they had ever been. And I'm thankful that this anointing that God has for us, it's not meant for us to have it as a merit badge, as I like to say, but he's looking to keep us healthy. He's looking to keep us fit. He's looking for us to be stronger than we ever were before. I don't know about you, but I join with the psalmist and say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I want to know my shepherd's voice. I want to know when he says, okay, we're going for a walk. I want to understand that when he says, come here, it's time for us to groom you. It is time for us to lead you to that place that is going to meet every need that you have in your life. I'm thankful that when he leads me, it doesn't matter what the enemy is going to do. My shepherd is greater than that enemy is. I know that when he leads me, that he's going to be paying attention to whatever attack might come my way. He is going to be paying attention to that. Nothing is going to escape his notice. His responsibility and his great love is to pay attention to me and direct me in the place that it is going to result in my best interest. And today I join with the psalmist in Psalm 23 and say, my cup runs over. If it doesn't run over with anything else, it runs over with the love of my shepherd. All the days of my life, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When you think about going to church, do you think of it as whether or not it's a matter of convenience, or have you made it a matter of determination that said, you know what, God's got a word for me today at church that is going to be in my best interest. I don't want to miss it. My pastor that I grew up under ended up serving as a missionary in Hong Kong before China took it back over in 1997. He had a man one day that said, Pastor, I just want you to know my company is sending me to London on a business trip, and I will not be at church next Sunday. I just wanted you to know. And the next Sunday came, and my pastor looked out, and there was this man sitting in the congregation. And he had a conversation with him afterwards, and he said, but you told me you weren't going to be there. And he said, well, I was in London, and I was praying, and God spoke to me and said that you had a word that you were going to be preaching this morning that I needed to hear. And so I took my own personal money. I flew back just so I could hear the word of the Lord today, and I'll be flying back to my assignment tonight. God's got a word for us today. Let's take advantage of it, and let's hear it and apply it. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.